Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Synergy Podcast. It's been a long time. We've been on a very long break without telling anybody. So we apologize for that. And we'll try to be more regular and start pushing out content with season two. So yeah, welcome to the show and over to Paul.
Hey guys, yeah, we are really sorry for being this late. And yeah, I mean, now that we're back, we'll just try and push out as much content as possible for you all. So starting with today's episode, it's going to be really interesting because as a guest, we have one of my bestest friends from college who I've known for almost 4 years right now. He has a lot going for him right now. I mean, he plays the guitar very well. He sings very well. He posts every now and then a reel and post on Instagram. Also, he has recently started his fitness journey with one of my also best friends, and they're also quite constantly pushing out content on YouTube as well. So all of that I'll just mention in the podcast info, but today we're going to talk about none of that. We're just going to talk about something which, if I had to describe in a broad word, I would just call it the cosmos. So that is what we're going to talk about, and I'll just hand it over to Josh to explain why he got into this and why does it still interest him, this topic that we're talking about.
So thanks for the intro, Parth. My name is Josh, and today I'm going to talk about a lot of topics. And as Parth has told you all about, it's going to be about cosmos, and there's a lot to talk about. So today, the first question and answer is that why I got into this. So as a curious kid, I stumbled upon many conspiracy theories videos on the YouTube, and around at the age of 12, I kept like watching these videos online. And one of my favorite videos was the moon landing conspiracy, which caught my eyes. And then from that video, I kept moving forward to aliens, universe, Illuminati, and many more conspiracy videos. Once I thought Illuminati was an alien organization, but yeah, we know. After that, I kept collecting information throughout the years. I kept reading books. And one of my favorite books, which Parth gave me on my 18th birthday, was Astrophysics for People in Hurry. Okay, so that's how my journey began to unravel the universe. And I don't know a lot, but I know like a pretty good amount of information on this topic. So let's get on with the episode.
All right, thanks, Josh. So the thing is that now that we talked about Neil deGrasse Tyson, I want to share a little story because, okay, picture this guy. Let's say a couple of years back, I was just sitting in my room one night about to go to sleep, but then I was mindlessly scrolling on YouTube and I just came across this video by this guy called Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I don't know, maybe the thumbnail or the title really caught my attention. And I was like, you know, let's just check it out. And then I'm telling you, like, cut to 3 hours later, I probably watched like 20 to 25 videos or clips, whatever you want to call it, which was, you know, just Neil deGrasse Tyson breaking down and explaining stuff about the cosmos. And as soon as I completed the first video, like, oh my God, it fascinated me so much. I just couldn't stop, and it really left me sleepless because, first of all, that guy has so much of knowledge, and the ease with which he breaks down stuff, all the difficult topics and theories and definitions, he just makes it so easy to grab. So if you want to get into this world, I would just suggest just YouTube Neil deGrasse Tyson, and you'll find a bunch of videos which will fascinate you. So I think a couple of years back when I watched that video, that was the first time I decided that, you know, this is something that I won't stop, because it just left me with so many questions and so much curiosity that I was like, man, I need to constantly consume this type of content. And I think that's the time when I started my own journey of like understanding about the galaxies and the universe and astrophysics and all of that. So yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is the man, if you want to check him out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I wanted to actually make a career out of this when I was a young kid. It's like, oh yeah, I want to study space. I want to, because it was always very fun to me. So like the universe is always expanding. I don't know, but then I realized that I need to actually study physics for it. So then I'm just like, nah, that's not possible. But for me, it's not something that I want to make a career out of, but it's something that always fascinates me and something that I always want to continue to gain knowledge. So I keep watching videos about space and like things that happen in space, and also conspiracy theories. I watched a lot of them. Moon landing was always there. But yeah, that's my journey with the cosmos, and it's still going on. So I still enjoy it very much. So yeah,
I think it's best to like just keep some areas of interest as a hobby in itself, and like not necessarily make it a career or make it a journey of studying. Because you know, if you like something, but then if you're forced to like sit down and mug that up and write a test on it, I think somewhere down the line you start losing interest for it, and you start, you know, low-key hating that. So I think in a way it's a blessing that, you know, it's just left aside and left as, you know, a hobby or something that you just every now and then look up on the internet and read about, instead of actually making a career out of it, which you know might have not ended up in a great way.
Yeah, definitely. I can totally agree.
So
let's dive into the first question now. When anyone talks about galaxy or the space or the universe, one of the first ever questions that come to your mind are questions like, you know, how did the universe come into existence? Since when are we on Earth surviving? But then wait, Earth is only a tiny, tiny, minuscule part of the entire universe. So, you know, how long has the universe been there for? And before we came into existence, what was there in the universe? So let's break down questions like these. And I would like to ask Josh, from whatever he has read, what opinion and what answer does he have for questions like, you know, how did the universe come into existence, and how did life on Earth start?
All right. So the answer is pretty simple. You already know about it, and it's the most accepted theory all around the world. Till 1940, we had no idea how the universe began. But after a coincidence happened where we discovered about the cosmic background radiation. So this I read about in that book, which you gave me, Astrophysics for People in Hurry. So the cosmic background radiation is what is left after the Big Bang. So it might be or might not be a clue to which like we can prove the Big Bang existed or not. So the Big Bang is the main, what we can say, the Big Bang is widely accepted theory of the starting of the universe. So around more than 13 billion years ago, the universe started from nothing. So it was like, in a second, out of nothing, the Big Bang happened from a tiny speck. Like you cannot even pinpoint it. It was so small. It was so saturated. It was so highly dense. From that point, it just expanded into the universe, and it's still expanding right now. So how did it came to into existence and how we are alive right now? I'll break it down to you. So like to the tiniest second, like 10 raised to minus 56th second, when the universe was starting to expand, there were gluons. So these energy particles were just there, but they didn't do anything. They were just there because it was so highly dense. These gluons were just rotating around the expandable universe, and they cannot yet combine together because the temperature was so high. And as the universe expanded, like 10 raised to minus 36th second after, when the universe was around the size of a football, these gluons started to merge into quarks because the temperature started to fall down as the universe expanded. And then the universe kept expanding. And after 1 second, these quarks started to combine with each other to form protons and neutrons, which is like literally the whole universe, which is made of. So these protons and neutrons again combined to form a nucleus. And as the universe expanded, the electrons joined into the nucleus to make atoms. And then from those atoms, a first element was formed, which was hydrogen. So around 20,000 years later, after the universe like came into existence, we could see the first light coming out of a star, which was formed from completely hydrogen. So after 20,000 years, we could see the first light appearance. And after around 3 billion years, the Milky Way was formed, and all the other galaxies were starting to form because the temperature started to cool down and elements could fuse together to form higher elements, and these higher elements could form the stars and the universe which we see right now.
Like, we do, we personally will never know how the universe started, because we cannot travel back in time yet. But the Big Bang is the most widely accepted theory, and it makes a lot of sense. And I like that. I like how you explained it with gluons and quarks and protons and neutrons. Also,
I would like to add something. Like, one of the most accepted is Big Bang, but there's also another theory which is called a string theory. If you have seen Big Bang, you must have heard of string theory, right?
So yeah, that's basically I've heard of the string theory.
Yeah, they won Nobel Award for that theory. So I don't want to get into the explanation of string theory, because it's really, really complicated and it would take a lot of time. But yeah, there is another widely accepted theory, which is called a string theory, and it's been working on, the people who are working on the string theory right now. So yeah, in the future, we might see that the Big Bang wasn't the true theory. There's a lot to know more.
Yeah, it's a constant evolving knowledge. You never know. So at this point, I think, the next question we had was then how did life begin on Earth then, after the Milky Way was formed?
Yeah, so the Milky Way was formed around 13 billion years ago, and the Earth, which we know, is around 4.6 billion years ago. So the Earth, when the universe was forming, there was a lot of collision and a lot of chaotic scenes were going on in the universe, and Milky Way was one of the creations of that chaotic scenes. And in that creation, we live inside a solar system, which is consisting of our sun and all the planets we know about. So these were created due to the collisions of these materials only, and these materials were joined into these highly dense particles, and they formed literally the stars and the planets we know right now. So Earth is around 4 billion years ago, and it was created due to that. We are actually really lucky to be in the habitable zone of the sun. That's why the life could actually begin. That's the first step, to be in the habitable zone of a solar system, not too far, not too close, but in the right place to exist. And there are a few basic elements which is needed for the life to happen on Earth. One of them is methane, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, oxygen. And to be able to use these elements, we need a liquid base, which is, like, we know our liquid base is water, but it can be different for another species if there's out there. So for us, it's water, and we need these elements to coexist in this base to form life. So the water can come from another planets. There have been discoveries that there are water reservoirs out in the universe, and the meteors could carry these waters to the planet when they collided with the Earth in the past, I guess. So the water came into existence, and these elements were already present due to the collisions of the particles which formed the Earth. So these particles could mix together in the water, and the first life was formed on Earth. So when the Earth was cooling down, a meteor may have hit the Earth, and water started to flow on the lands of Earth. And then these particles made the first single cellular organism on Earth, and then that's how the life began on Earth.
Wow. And then evolution just took it from there, and then we got, so then it's natural, like, it makes sense that we all started with, like, sea creatures, and then we moved on to land. And
yeah, it's the evolution. Darwin's evolution. Yeah, theory.
Yeah.
Well, I mean this is interesting to me, because, you know, on one side you think of how rare this is and how lucky we are, because, you know, first of all, like Josh said, you need to be in the habitable region of the solar system, and then following that you need to have the correct biology and chemistry which helps, you know, facilitate the growth and evolution of life. Even then, later, as you talk about, you know, how you need certain laws of physics to apply, which is going to make life on Earth possible. So one school of thought is, you know, how lucky we are and how rare this is. But if you look at it from another perspective, you can also go like, oh, but the universe is massive. It's so big. And, you know, like, it's in just sheer amount of permutations and combinations, it's just so big that it would really be, you know, very egoistic of us to think that there is not a possibility of any other life except us. So, you know, what middle ground should we take, you know, between considering that it's this combination is very rare and that we're lucky, and also thinking about, you know, how the universe is so massive to, like, you know, have enough permutations and combinations to make other life possible as well.
Yeah, you could say that we are pretty lucky, but to answer the both of those questions, it can be pretty frightening to be alone in the whole universe, or to have someone other than us in the universe. Both could result in, like, two different paths.
Yeah.
Well, talking about being alone and not being alone, do you all remember about the article that just came in sometime back in the news, where the space chief of Israel just said that, you know, oh, like, you know, US and Israel have, like, been in touch with aliens and there's this galactic federation going on, and, like, I'm sure you all read that. So what's your take on that?
Okay, Josh, you go on first.
I'll continue.
Okay, fine. So basically you're just asking if aliens exist. So my simple answer is, of course, I believe that they exist, simply for the reason that, like, if we are incredibly lucky, considering the number of stars, considering the number of habitable zones, it is very much possible that someone else, some other species also got as lucky as us. But the fact remains that aliens or, like, extraterrestrial life exists as is, but we just think of it as, oh, aliens will be humanoid and, like, they'll be just like us but with bigger eyes and, like, gray skin and, like, you know how they show it in movies. But the fact remains that, like, even somewhere, like, they can even be, like, cellular organisms on another planet, and that's technically extraterrestrial life. So in, like, extraterrestrial life exists. Aliens in the humanoid form, like how they're showing movies, maybe not, who knows, but extraterrestrial life definitely exists. That's my take on it.
Yeah. When I'll continue further, I think you might change your answer to this, but let's stick to the topic right now and talk about Israel's face. So this guy has claimed to be known of the Israel space security chief, and he said that there is this Galactic Federation, which I think might not be true, but I don't know if he's really saying the truth. And he said that they have an underground base on Mars right now, and there are only American astronauts and alien representatives right now. So I don't know why just American astronauts. And there is an agreement between the US government and the aliens to not sign the, to have their sign the, to do experiments over there. And apparently President Donald Trump is also aware of that. So I don't know, this seems very far-fetched to have an underground base on Mars.
Oh yeah.
And recently a rover was sent by NASA to Mars, and we have a really high quality pictures of Mars right now. So I don't know, this might be a really big just conspiracy.
We might be
close to alien, but not yet. Let's see. I don't know much about them right now.
Honestly, I think the funniest thing that would be is, like, when we realize that aliens exist, but, and, like, it's just that they've been ignoring us for, like, the last 2000 years. Like, we don't want to talk to them.
Or one of the biggest conspiracies that aliens created us. That's why we worship them as gods.
Oh, yeah. But then there's another interpretation to that as well, right? It can just be, like, people from the future who have gone back into the past. So there are, like, two ways you can look at it. So
but when we come to time traveling, the normal laws of physics doesn't count.
So yeah,
it's a whole new other topic.
Yeah, it's a whole
but that could
topic.
Be a possibility. We don't know a lot about that.
Yeah,
I mean, also, like, one of the theories, like, I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about was, like, you know, like, how when we go for a walk and on the street, if we see a tiny creature, we don't necessarily in a busy day just sit down and try and speculate that creature. So the theory goes somewhat like, you know, there is another species who are so advanced, who are so ahead of us, and they probably know everything about us, and it's just so subpar, and it's just so below their standards that they won't even take time to, like, you know, communicate with us, or, you know, try and, you know, have any sort of interaction with us. So that's also a theory, that there's a species of life which is already so advanced, they know everything, but we're just so below the level for them that they won't even take out time to, you know, actually communicate or interact with us.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And like, this probably goes back to this another concept called the Kardashev scale, right? Which is that, how much of your...
There are like levels, there are scales of types of civilizations out there.
Yeah, type 1, type 2, and type 3. So type 1 is when you can use your entire planet's resources. I think type 2 is when you can use your entire, like, solar system. And 3 is your galactic scale. So... Yeah. Point is, we are not even a type 1 civilization yet. We have not fully used our resources of the earth itself. We are probably at like
0.75.
Yeah,
probably in 100 years we'll reach 1 if we don't kill ourselves.
That's also a big if at this point.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I don't know if anyone has articulated this ever, but, like, you know, I'm like, this is the first time that I'm listening to this. So how does one even possibly use their entire solar system, let alone the galaxy resources? Like, I'm not being able to process that.
Like, for example, I mean, I would say normally it's like, if you look at one of Jupiter's moons, I think Europa, for if I'm not mistaken, it is like an icy moon, and it has a lot of water, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I may be wrong on this, but, like, point being that if you have a planet with, like, a lot of water, then you extract that water and then you use that water to run your civilization. Essentially, that's it. And if you have, like, if you have no resources, then that just becomes free real estate for, like, you, for you to stay on and things like that. So I don't really know how we'll go about using Jupiter and Saturn, but yeah, I think that's how we use it.
So for the type, the you were talking about the how to control a solar system would be to create a Dyson sphere, which is theoretically possible, but right now we are not capable of making the Dyson sphere right now. So yeah, you could actually control a whole solar system, and from that you can control a whole galaxy, which is like a type 4 civilization. And for the type 5 civilization, you need to control like two or more galaxies. And for type 5, did I say type 4 or 5?
You said type 5. I think type 4 would be like two galaxies, and then type
type 3 was galaxy. Yeah,
galaxies,
so type 4
yeah.
Galaxy would control two or more galaxies, and type 5 would control a cluster of galaxies which consists of 100 or more galaxies. And there is a type Omega which could control a whole universe or multiple universe. It's just a thought theory. Yeah,
no, at this point I have to ask, do you believe in the multiverse?
Yeah, I think I have to.
Yeah, same. It's so much fun thinking,
like, if time travel was possible, and each and everything is like, each and every thought you think, like, frame this out.
Yeah.
So, like, there are a billion thoughts going in your mind, but you do only one of them. So there are, like, multiple possibilities that could have gone, like, the way you thought. So there are, like, multiple different scenarios of the same time. So there are multiple universes of that same particular moment.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, a way to frame this would be like, you know, our actions are carried out by a thought. And when we think about something, there is a million different things that we think and choose that over, right? So there is a million different things that I chose to not think about, and therefore I chose to not take action on them. So for every million things that not take action on, there is a parallel universe with a parallel different possible outcome, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, that makes sense. And but like time travel, if you think about time travel to the future is basically a fact right now. You can do it.
But it's probably forbidden. It would change the laws of physics we have right now.
Yeah.
And that would completely change every law we have right now. So to comprehend that, we have to like think beyond our understanding right now.
I mean, it's
it is actually possible.
It's possible. It's very hard to implement though. But like, I mean, this thing happened, right? One guy was in what was it? Yeah, he was in a spaceship or something, and like it went around Earth at like high speeds and stuff. And he had a twin brother or something. But then when he came down back on Earth, like,
okay, that's not going forward. That's aging less. So okay, I'll explain it to you. Okay, so you can actually go back in time. I'll tell you how. So when Einstein said that when Einstein proved the theory of relativity, he said that time is not relative. Time is relative, I mean. So it depends on how fast you are moving and how gravity is acting upon you. So time is not same for everyone. So imagine like you have a twin brother and you have same clocks on your hand, and it is synced to the millisecond of the time. So you're living on Earth and your twin brother has gone in the spaceship and he's moving in the speed of light. So he goes at the speed of light away from the Earth, and the guy like you are standing on Earth and spending around 10 years. So that guy, so your twin who is traveling at the speed of light in the universe, is aging slower than you.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, you'll be older than him. So basically you have traveled in the future.
Yeah, that was my whole point. Yeah. Technically.
So if you have seen Interstellar, Interstellar, there was a part where the crew lands on a like watery planet, and every hour on that planet is around 7 years in real lifetime. So when they come back to the spaceship, the guys in the spaceship is much older than they are.
Yeah. So that is like technically traveling to the future, but not like.
You cannot come back.
But yeah, it's still fun to think about. It's like, oh yeah, I can go on a spaceship speed of light and I'll age less. So but yeah, okay, these are all nice ideas.
Tell you about a thought experiment again, and it's pretty interesting, and I'll tell you why I'm telling this later. So imagine you have a 24-hour scale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scale for the time on Earth. So the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. So these 24-hour scale is fit like in these 4.6 billion years are fitted in the 24-hour scale.
Mm-hmm.
So after 10 minutes, like after 12 p.m. or a.m., I don't know exactly. A.m., right?
Yeah, after a.m. 12, is when it starts.
Starts, yeah. So after 12 a.m., 10 minutes later, the moon is formed. So there is the moon, there is a rock called Theia which collided with Earth and the moon was formed.
Yeah.
So that is around 4.53 billion years ago. Then at 4 a.m., the first single life cell was formed, which is around 3.8 billion years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then around after like literally 14 hours, like at 6 p.m., first multicellular organism was formed. That is like 1.2 billion years ago. So that was the first multicellular organism was formed. Then at 10, then at 9 p.m., the seaweeds, the plants we know, the first plants were formed in the deep ocean, which is like 510 million years ago. Then at 10 p.m., first sea life was formed, the fishes we know, and then the land plants started to grow on land 430 million years ago. Then at 10:56 p.m., first dinosaurs were formed. Mm. That's around only 200 million years ago at 10:56. So we are not even yet born. Humans are not even existing.
Yeah.
Then at 11:39 p.m., the mass extinction of dinosaurs was there. The meteor collided with Earth and all the dinosaurs were dead. But the few mammals survived. That was like around 66 million years ago. And then at 11:59 and 59th second, I mean the last second, which is around 200,000 years ago, Homo sapiens were there, like humans, but not as smart as we are. We only exist for 1 second in the whole 4.6 billion years of Earth formation. So we don't even have enough.
We're just talking about Homo sapiens. The last, it's not even like, the entire, you know, history of humans. Like, that has just been for 1 second.
Yeah. And we have been only
That's
searching
crazy
for 1 second.
If you look at it that way.
And
in
to,
one.
Yeah.
In 1 second only, we have caused so much damage.
Already so much damage. And we can also look at it in another way. Like, we have only existed for 1 second, and we are saying that we haven't found any aliens. We haven't been looking for much longer, I must say.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So then do you like believe that aliens exist? Like, not that Israel and like whatever bullshit they're saying, but like aliens in general.
Yeah, I would really like to believe, but it's really difficult to like imagine it. But yeah, I think real aliens do exist.
Yeah. Parth, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, how I said that it'll be really egoistic of us to think that there's no possibility of life anywhere else, just because it's, the universe is like so huge, and that to the part which we can observe, right? The observable universe that we can even imagine, even that's so big. So it just, it's, yeah, the size of it is crazy, and it makes you believe that there's some combination possibility somewhere, you know, like at least one, there's one place where all the boxes are checked, and you know, there is evolution of some species. Also, I want to say that, you know, how when Josh talked about we're not looking for a long time, I don't think it's just a matter of time. It's also about the sample that we're studying. So I would like to give an analogy of, like, you know, how you, let's say you're taking a walk towards the sea, and then you go with a mug of water, and you stand by the shore, you fill a mug of water, and then you look into that mug, and now you try and make assumptions about the entire sea. Yeah. You know, I mean, you just holding a mug full of water that you just filled by the shore, you would never possibly know about the deep sea life. And it's just that, I always love that analogy, because that's just, I think that the sample we're studying is inaccurate in the sense that, you know, we can't just make assumptions or try to figure out something by just looking at such a tiny sample.
Yeah, to add on to that, the messages that we are throwing out in the universe would only expand till 200 light years. So after that, if there is life existing out of that boundary, it might not be able to reach us. So yeah, that mug analogy is correct, I guess.
Yeah. And fun fact, actually, of course, we're sending out a lot of strong signals and for aliens to pick up and all. But like, the first strong signal that actually went out into space was way back in like the 1940s. And that was very erroneous. Like, it was very strong radio signal. So long story short, it might be possible that the first signal the aliens pick up from our planet would be a Hitler speech.
they might.
So,
and also, yeah, I would like to say that if a really high intelligent species is out there, like really far away, so, you know, the light can only travel at the speed of light, which is actually really slow if you see the scale of the universe.
Yeah,
it would take like around 1,000 years for the light to start from a point of our Milky Way to reach the end of the Milky Way. So it would take 1,000 years. So if there is a alien out there on another galaxy, which is like 1 billion light years away, it would take 1 billion years to reach that light over there. And the alien who might be looking through a telescope would see a light 1 billion years ago. And the Earth was never, the humans were not even existing at that point. So it's, the alien is basically seeing into the past.
Yeah.
And he's seeing that there are no like humans there.
Yeah, that is also true. So if there's an alien like 65 million light years away, they might be just seeing dinosaurs.
Yeah,
this part.
True.
But yeah, this is like a very fun topic to like think about. It's like, whoa. Yeah.
Also, since we're already talking about aliens and all, Josh, would you like to like touch upon the Fermi paradox?
Yeah, so the Fermi paradox, basically I've already covered the Fermi paradox, is about the possibilities of aliens being out there or not being out there. So I would like to talk about the great filter. So this filter describes how a civilization can survive. So there are filters like each civilization that has to pass, and we might be we might be pretty lucky to pass all those filters to be alive right now. So the first filter is obviously to be in a habitable zone, to be on a planet which has all the resources, have water, everything that any life might need. The second filter might be like we are actually very lucky to have Jupiter. You know, Jupiter actually saves us from a lot of asteroids. If Jupiter might not be there, we would have ended like millions of years ago. So the second filter comes there when we have to be saved by all these galactic calamities, like being hit by a supernova, being hit by a meteoroid or anything like that. So there's another filter. Then there comes another filter where we end ourselves. So around 50 years ago, we had a Cold War where we would have ended ourselves. If a nuclear war breaks out, we might end ourselves. So these are the great filters which every civilization has to pass through. So we might be the first one to pass all these filters, and there might not be any other civilization that has not passed that. That's why we cannot see any aliens out there. Or there might be any aliens out there who have passed these great filters and we have yet to discover them. So both of these answers are pretty frightening.
Yeah. But then I also think that, of course, we have dangers of ending ourselves even right now, right? With climate change.
Yeah, it's climate change. Anything can happen. Any calamity.
Anything can happen. And
yeah, one push of a button and we might die.
Right? Yeah, there's like this very fun, like very nice video by this YouTuber. His name is Lemino. And he spoke about the apocalypse or something. And like that video is just like, there are so many ways like we can just like die this very second. It's just like, but it's there. It's always a possibility. So,
yeah. So also a great filter like tells us about that there is a point where a filter which cannot be passed. So even if there are aliens who have passed more filters than us, there comes a point where they have like they, whatever they do, they destroy themselves and they cannot move further. So
yeah.
Like as you told, there are civilizations like type 1, type 2, type 3. So after type 2, if there was a type 3 civilization, like who could control a galaxy, we would have obviously noticed it by now. Like they would have moved planets or taken a star and whatever, but we could see the remains of that, right? Because it would be like huge, and we have like really good telescope to see throughout the universe. So we could have noticed by now if there was a type 3. So these great filters tell us that there is no civilization which have passed type 2. So that can be frightening for us, that we might be at the end than the beginning. Closer to the end than the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. But then like we don't know. We won't know until we never know. Yeah, that's the problem with the cosmos. Like we know, but we don't know.
So I
and
like,
we also don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
So I have this favorite quote which says, "The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you." It's one of my favorite quotes.
Definitely. And like, I mean, talking of no sense, I can even talk about you can even bring up like black holes. They make no sense, you know. It's like,
because I'll tell you why they make no sense. Because what Einstein has told us is based on relativity, which is like our stars and all the galaxies we know run on. And another topic is known as quantum theory. And if you try to mix these relative theory and the quantum theory together, they makes no sense. That's why black hole cannot make any sense, because a black hole is a really big black hole, and at the center of the black hole is a really tiny speck which comes at the quantum level. That's why its physics cannot be explained right now.
Yeah, it's black holes are like fascinating. It's like even light cannot escape, and like you never know when one's creeping up behind you, and it's very interesting. And like what happens?
A portal to another universe.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to bring that up. I'm portal to another universe. Let's go. But at this point, my aspirations for the human race are just like, let's just figure out like high speed space travel first. And like, because and then we'll just like move forward. And of course, not killing ourselves on this planet. So
survival is moving, the first key.
Yeah, and start moving on to other planets. That's why I'm very hyped for Elon Musk in Mars.
Till 2030, we'll be on Mars.
Yeah, and that's a good
thing. Hopefully, no. seeing SpaceX's progress. I mean,
there's
even,
a launch.
Even as Josh was talking about the great filters, it was so funny, you know, that just look at it from this perspective that universe is trying to save us by placing all these filters and, you know, placing Jupiter so that we don't die by an asteroid. But then we over here are making silly, stupid, dumb mistakes and trying to, like, you know, just finish our civilization, like, you know, ourselves. So it's funny how universe in a way is maybe trying to save us, but then we won't let the universe save us by, you know, just destroying ourselves.
Also, Elon Musk said that we might be living in a simulation.
Oh yeah,
that. So this could all be planned.
Yeah, maybe we are just like part of decision making, or like not decision making, but like
AI. We are the AI, smart AIs.
Yeah,
working on ourselves. That's why we have our own thoughts.
Yeah, or maybe we are part.
Yeah,
of
is this like some intelligent species had a kid working in his basement who just wrote a code, made us into a video game, just put some free will into our heads, and now we're just living that life, and you know, it's just we're just silly little creatures
really
with that tiny amount of free will, and we're trying to have all the speculation while we're just running in some kid's basement server.
No, we can also be like some second standard student science project also. We never know, yeah.
Second standard student.
Yeah.
I hope we get first prize then. that'll be too disappointing.
That's why.
It's like you're about to show it to the teacher, and then the humans inside that project are like killing themselves, and the teacher's like, "Oh shit, what did you make?"
Yeah.
"Oh, you're gonna die of global warming." No, some marks now.
The funniest thing would be like this: the second standard guy is just like, "Oh yeah, this planet is very advanced. These people are so smart. Like they're making scientific discoveries. This that." And the teacher's very impressed, and then suddenly like Hiroshima Nagasaki happened there, and he's like, "Ye kya ho raha hai?"
And then that second standard kid is like, "Oh, you're coming up with 5G. That's cute."
5G.
No, but then I think at this point they've just lost all hope if they call us the smartest planet, because now you have people who are like, "Oh, vaccination nahi lenge, mask nahi pehnenge." Oh, that was just like, but yeah, I mean, like going back to the universe, like I don't have much to say. This is all I had to say. I like studying, so like, or like learning things about the universe is just so much fun.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah,
there's always more to learn, and there are so many unanswered questions. So we have to like keep learning on that.
Yeah,
it's never
definitely.
Ending.
Yeah, it's never ending, and I hope it never ends.
In fact, you know, like as you talk about the science project thing, you know, there's this actually, you know, how we have Hinduism and Islam and Christianity, there's actually, like, for real, I'm not even kidding, you can look this up, there's an actual religion which believes in our existence through simulation, and they worship, you know, simulation as a source of our existence, and there's actually a religion like that which exists, like, not even making this up.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a religion for everything at this point. There is a church of the flying spaghetti monster. So they just worship like a meatball with spaghetti. And it works. They have registration also for it. Like it's
yeah, I have no words.
It's nuts. I feel like I really hope that we discover more and more as we move on of the universe. And
hopefully we will.
Yeah, hopefully.
And to answer that, like I said, that the normal physics and quantum theory does not match. After the discovery of string theory, that might be possible to answer more questions. So,
yeah,
string theory could actually help. Yeah,
get things like in place. I'm just happy that we studied physics in that we finished studying physics in a time where, by the time it was just normal, because now once we get to know more, it's just going to get more and more complicated. So good luck to future
generations. And the schools are not going to cut out the basics, right? So it's going to be everything that we learned. And then on top of that, 20 years from now, there's going to be all of this, new discoveries and explorations also. Yeah, and
keep adding to the syllabus, these poor kids.
Yeah, poor kids. So, yeah, I mean, we should get some reward for our parents like having sex in like 2000, 2001 and like us getting born and finishing education before that. So I believe that that's good. So yeah.
But we might be actually missing out on the future. Like a lot of good stuff might happen in the future.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like we are at a point where like a lot of breakthroughs can happen in our lifetime. So it's like, if you think about it, like our grandparents, so like 80 years, right? They went from a time where airplanes were like just nothing to advanced air travel. They went from a point where mobile phones and telephones, like telephones were a thing, but like they were very slow. From like, they went from telegram to something like email and so in that 80 years only there's so much advancement. Like they did, like there was so much of a culture shock for them.
Yeah, they went from Telegram the device to Telegram the app.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a really shoot-up.
It's a shoot-up. So and now we're just getting more and more. Technology is definitely, it's going on an exponential scale. So I believe that at least in the, like at least within our lifetime, by 2050, at least there'll be some major breakthroughs in like,
yeah, there definitely will be in the most coming years.
Yeah,
we are AI advancing like crazy right now, like crazy.
Yeah, and which is why I feel like once like technology is in place, like once technology is like very, very advanced, then I feel like the universe, like we'll get to know more about the universe. Because like, think about this, like if it's possible to like upload your consciousness to like a device and just keep it there, and then that device starts behaving like you, and it's just you, it's like a digital backup of you, then you like life doesn't matter, right? You can just like upload an astronaut's consciousness onto some computer, send that computer to another planet. Like you're not even worried about like biological decay or anything. And then like you'll start exploring more about other planets. In fact, you can send someone on a rocket also, and then like 1,000 years later they'll be somewhere else, and it's fine because like they have not died. It's like, so yeah it's a whole new world of possibilities can be opened up with that.
In fact, we might even, you know, not actually miss out on a lot of discoveries, because nowadays there are a lot of theories suggesting that our generation will probably easily live up to 100 and maybe even more.
The coming technologies, yeah, we could like,
yeah, I
mean, cure a lot of diseases.
Yeah,
just how everything in the universe and the space and all of that is being explored. At the same time, I think a lot of money and a lot of research is being spent on just improving the health and, you know, just lengthening our lifespan. And I think there is a
in my lifetime, I just want to be like alive till 2062, because then I'll get to see the Halley's Comet.
Yeah.
I really want to see that comet. Yeah. It comes literally every 75 years.
Even without any, you know, health exploration and any discovery and any lengthening of the lifespan, you'll still anyway be alive by 2062. I mean, you can die tomorrow as well. I'm not wishing that on you, but, you know, like, it just makes more sense that the odds are in favor of you living till 2062.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, is there anything else you would like to tell the audience before we wrap up this episode?
I don't think so. I guess we have talked about everything.
I think you'd not touch upon the human ant comparison.
I guess you said that, Parth. Like
I did.
Yeah, beech mein tune bola tha na when a human is like sitting and he's. I think you said that. Beach man.
I don't think I've talked about human ant.
Not specifically ant, but like just human and some other species, I guess you were talking about. Okay, so I'll explain it. What a human ant comparison
is. I was talking about like how if we walk on the road and we neglect the ant. Wo wala hai kya?
Ha, wohi part.
Oh, wow. So that's you have discovered secrets of universe without even realizing that you are discovering secrets of universe.
No, like I actually saw that video and that stuck with me, but I never knew that that was the human ant comparison.
Yeah, that's how aliens would see us if they come ever across us. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Parth. I'm calling you Parth deGrasse Tyson now.
It actually goes with the doesn't sound too bad.
Exactly. So yeah, but like, thank you for coming on to the show and like discussing this with us. Like, this is honestly too much fun. Like, talking
really
about the universe. It's like go on for hours. It's a must. Like, we are all fangirls of the universe at this point. It's like, it's so much fun. And yeah, thank you for coming on to the show, Parth. You can take it on from here.
Yeah, I think it's been great recording this episode. And I think for everyone who already has been consuming this kind of content, I'm sure that you all really vibed listening to this episode. But even for someone who is totally new to this, even for them, there is at this point, I'm hoping, an interesting balance of curiosity and uncertainty. And I'm just hoping that everyone listening to this had a lot of fun. And also for everyone who it's new for, I'm sure they're going to have a sleepless night just thinking about, just having a lot of questions in head and trying to Google them out or like look them up on YouTube. So if I've just instilled any sort of curiosity in anyone through today's episode who are then, you know, going to study about this topic, then I think it's been successful. That's my take.
Yeah, I agree. So again, thank you, Josh.
It was fun being on the show, it was
equally a pleasure for all of us. So yeah, I'll stop the recording now. So bye, and yeah.
Good night.
Good night.